We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can get in touch with the show today. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The text line, as always, is there for you at 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, you can get to us at ESPN Upstate. If you follow us, we get to your tweets on the air at MARC Ryan on air. That's at Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word. And you can email the show, markryan at espnupstate.com. This place is amazing. Lonzo, I know you don't get out much, but have you ever seen this place before?
No, this is the first time I've came this direction before. It is a very nice golf course. It's, as we said, I mean, it's like driving into a different world. And I got to go on a long walk through it, and it was beautiful.
You did get to go on a long walk through it. You and I had kind of the never-ending story just to get up here.
I bet you got a bus, didn't you?
What's that?
I bet you caught the shuttle bus.
I absolutely caught the shuttle bus. Yeah. They held the shuttle bus up for me. And I felt very privileged. I felt like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day when he said, "Keep the talent happy." They kept the spot for me, Lonzo, on the bus.
I get it.
It
and
was
I
tremendous.
Had to walk. I get,
and
I
you,
get it.
And you were high-talented over here. Beautiful neighborhoods around Thornblade. I mean, this is really kind of tucked in off the main road. You go about a mile and a half off the main road. And then not only do you have the beautiful golf course, and we are inside the clubhouse, looking over the balcony at the ninth hole here. What I didn't realize is that there was a whole neighborhood community, beautiful homes out here. Putting the G in Greer and the G in Greenville today, all the green that you see, it is absolutely positively pristine. You know, whenever we get to do a show like this on location, on remote, my philosophy, my plan is always to try to do the best that I can to bring you guys here, to bring you here with me. So you'll hear some descriptive advertisements today over the course of the show as I attempt to do that to the best of my ability. But Lonzo, I'll say this. You and I did not grow up being golf guys, all right? We didn't grow up as golf guys, all right? But I think there's something, even not as inherent golf people, that is really incredibly peaceful and serene about a scene like this. Agree?
Oh, I completely agree.
I mean, it's just, it's really kind of soothing to the soul, you know? So whenever I start getting irritated that you're sitting to my right, I can just look out and enjoy the beautiful scenery and forget where I am temporarily, all right? Our ESPN staff is already looking and laughing at the jokes. Hey, the jokes have just started, guys. We've got a long way to go here today.
You don't have to laugh at him if he's not funny. I'm just saying.
Listen, my main man's laughing because he can sense the humor going on right now in the building. Last night, a beatdown of the Golden State Warriors at the hands of the Toronto Raptors. It wasn't overly close. It was never really close. There was never a point in the game where I really felt Toronto was threatened. They win going away 123-109. Every single starter for the Raptors yesterday not only shot 50% or better, the lowest scoring output of the five Raptors starters yesterday was 17 points. So I was thinking, this is really interesting to myself. I thought if the Raptors lost last night, they'd be out of the series. If the Raptors fell, there's no way they win this thing with all of those Golden State stars out. I mean, a laundry list, a who's who list, not playing in that game yesterday. Klay Thompson out, Kevin Durant out, Kawan Looney out, DeMarcus Cousins hobbled, Steph Curry recovering from dehydration and a fever. They're all there. Toronto wins the game. Toronto wins the game going away. The whole starting five, 17 points or more, even from the likes of Danny Green, Marc Gasol, etc., as Toronto takes a 2-1 lead in a game that they absolutely had to have. And I was curious today. What the people would think in terms of who's winning this series right now. We have an active poll right now up on ESPNUpstate.com, and listen, it's been up for a few hours. Right now, it's 52% Warriors, 48% Raptors in terms of who's winning this series. And in addition to that, I looked on Vegas today to get the Vegas odds. I was curious, like, who would you think Vegas would have as the favorite to win the finals today? And what I found is that it's totally even. It is completely and totally even. It's minus 110 for Golden State to win the finals and minus 110 for Toronto to win the finals. If you are handicapping this thing today, Lonzo, who do you got?
You know what? I think I'm going to change my pick and go with the Raptors. And I tell you one thing. This proves all those people are saying Steph Curry's as good as LeBron James. No, he's not. Steph Curry was by himself last night, and he could not carry his team to a victory. LeBron can carry his team to a victory. If you get Klay back and he's hobbled, you get KD back and he's hobbled, they'll give you something. But I think that the confidence now for Toronto, now that they've won in Golden State, I think that's just going to take them to the next level and finish them off.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be absolutely tremendous. Today, I'm not going to move off my pick like you, Lon, so I'm not a flip-flopper. But I will say this. I'm a little bit – I would be nervous if I'm Golden State because it hangs in the balance of the health. A lot of times a strained hamstring, which Klay Thompson has, takes a couple weeks to come back from. Kevin Durant, I mean – that thing, that's more secret than the FBI. I mean, what's going on with him right now? How close is he to coming back to playing? Because, you know, and to your point about Steph Curry, I think what we saw from Steph Curry last night really helps out guys like James Harden, who have been doing it without multiple Hall of Famers at his side and who's been lifting people up and lifting teams up, largely by himself for a period of time here. So, Steph Curry, let's be real. Had two other All-Stars on the floor with him last night. I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is anywhere close to being fully back. But, look, he had a talented roster of players with him last night, and it wasn't close to getting it done. I just don't know that you can blame a guy who put up 47 points last night. I mean, Steph Curry's performance last night falls to me under the pretense of the man did everything that he possibly could do.
You know, there are very few things in life that give me delight, but one of the greatest things that gives me delight, at least during basketball season, is watching Steph Curry chewing on his binky on the bench, upset, near tears. There is nothing like that in the world.
I'm glad you like it, Lonzo. I'm glad you enjoy
Pretty soon he'll be able to take his passy and go home.
The depressing moods, and I'm glad you enjoy bad things happening to good people. I don't know about that. In any case, I wanted to share a quick Kawhi Leonard story with you that I was reading that I thought was fascinating. This was in The Athletic. When he was at San Diego State, we've all heard the cliches, first one in the gym, last one out of the gym. We've all heard that. But when he was at San Diego State, I heard and saw, I was reading a story that is simply amazing. Kawhi Leonard at San Diego State, if he couldn't sleep at night, would routinely break into a gym on campus so he could shoot. And he would kind of wedge the gym open, put something in the door so it wouldn't fully close. And then at 3-4 in the morning, he would go to the gym with the lights completely shut off that he wasn't allowed to turn back on. And Kawhi Leonard actually brought his own lamp to the gym and shot by lamplight in the middle of the night at San Diego State. And so you talk about, you're talking about this guy and people are referring to him as the hardest working player in the NBA and a guy that slipped through the cracks and lasted all the way to the 15th pick of the draft. Remember, the Indiana Pacers traded the pick that became Kawhi Leonard to the San Antonio Spurs for George Hill. Way back in the day, George Hill for the 15th pick seems like a good deal for the Indiana Pacers. They suddenly get better. But Kawhi Leonard, 14 points per game in his first finals appearance with the San Antonio Spurs, and what he's done to completely develop himself and become the best two-way player in the game, is all a product of work ethic, man. All a product of work ethic. As a host, are you willing to put in 3-4 hours of prep every single day? I always say in our industry, it takes twice the work to be 10% better than our competition. Are you willing to put in twice the work to be 10% better? Because most of us in this industry can wing a show. Most of us in this industry can keep the chops yapping for 3 hours. But are you saying things that have value to your audience? Are you compelling to your audience? Are you interesting to your audience? You got to work twice as hard to be 10% better. And Kawhi Leonard in the NBA, that was incredibly important from the very beginning. There is some news for Clemson right now that is out that is, I would say this. I think Clemson right now should be embarrassed about something that I will reveal to you next. We are live overlooking the ninth hole at Thornblade for the BMW Charity Pro-Am Golf Tournament. Live on location on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about my good friends at Hall of Fame Sports Grill on Wade Hampton. I'm here to tell you what a great local place to have a blast, to have fun, to enjoy time with your friends. It's a sports bar that kind of doubles as a great place to hang out in the evenings with your boys, and also a viable place to bring your family as well for incredible food, incredible atmosphere, all the biggest games. They've got a sanded shuffleboard table as well. And I want to tell you about what's going on there this Saturday. Bring your four-legged friends and join in the fun as we throw a party to benefit our friends at Pave Paws Animal League. We'll roll out the carpets and put up the shade tents so our furry friends can play, complete with pools and treats for all, tons of food and drink specials. Bobby's Boys, featuring members of TJ Laser, bring the beats beginning at 3 p.m. All of that is coming up this weekend, June 8th, at Hall of Fame Grill on Wade Hampton. Live on location at the BMW Pro-Am Celebrity Golf Tournament. Offsides is in your eardrums. It is so great to be here. Coming up, I am told, in the next couple of segments, we're going to have a very well-known golf caddy by the name of Michael Collins who joins the show. And knock on wood, cross your fingers, perhaps all I'm going to say is one word, the Wizard. That's two, but potentially the Wizard. See, I don't like to jinx things, guys. I don't like to jinx things. I don't like to say things are going to happen and then they don't. But I would say it is looking very, very positive, very, very positive that we will have the Wizard. And that's all I'm going to say coming up here in the next couple of segments on the show. Great to be here overlooking the ninth hole at the BMW.
You mean Gandalf?
What's that?
Gandalf?
No, that is not the Wizard.
You mean Merlin?
This is not Wizards and Warriors, Lonzo. This has nothing to do with Magic, the card gathering, Lonzo.
I'm confused.
I know you're thoroughly confused. This is a very different kind of wizard than you're used to, Lonzo. I do apologize.
Is it a pinball wizard?
This wizard won't shoot you with spells, Lonzo, so you should feel safe, okay? I do want to make sure.
I had a counter ready just in case.
Yes, fantastic. I do want to make sure you're safe. As always, this is a very, very important thing. Folks, college football attendance has been declining at a very rapid pace. And it's a really interesting phenomenon. Each of the last five years, college football has had worse attendance than the season that preceded it. And there is a whole host of reasons for this. All right. I think that people want to stay connected through the game now. I think that's more important for a lot of people than being at said game. And if, you know, Wi-Fi can tend to be spotty inside the stadiums, people have a hard time getting reception. They have a hard time sending texts, so on and so forth. I think the TV experience at home has become outstanding. It's become elite. And I also think, you know, you look at the travel that you have to do, the ticket prices, not being able to be connected during the game. And I think it's an issue that is pervasive throughout college football. But here's something that really jumped out to me that I can't believe. And I think, frankly, Clemson fans should be embarrassed by. And I'm being totally honest about this. Would you believe, ladies and gentlemen, that in the entirety of the 2018 college football season, that the Clemson Tigers did not sell out one home game? Now, I've seen different reports about the capacity at Death Valley. I've seen 80,000. I've seen 81,000. But you're a team that was number one, number two much of the year, and you don't sell out one single home game, despite the fact that there's almost a million people in the upstate of South Carolina, the majority of whom call themselves Clemson Tigers fans, and in an 80,000-seat stadium, you can't fill it. Tickets still available for the best team in the country. You know, folks, to me, outside looking in, it makes absolutely positively no sense. It's something I don't understand. It's something I don't get. And it's something, if in my opinion, that's a bad look for Clemson. We've talked about the fact that Williams-Brice and South Carolina fans lead the nation in ejections, but I was literally floored. Like, in the last 2 months, May and June, I can honestly say in this job, in this position, with the amount of news and headlines and reading that we do on a daily basis, the thing that I've seen, that I've read, that has shocked me the very, very most is this fact that Clemson did not sell out one game last year. One game. And so, Clemson fans, I'd like to open this up to you to defend yourselves at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. I get it that the attendance for college football is going down. I don't think that it's any less popular than it's ever been. I just think we're becoming, as a society, more an indoor society than an outdoor society, with the volume of games that are on TV right now. I mean, if I've got 37 games on my television set, or I can stay home, or I can go to the game and only see one, what do I want to do? I don't have to deal with ticket prices. I don't have to deal with parking. I don't have to deal with, the hustle and bustle, parking 2 miles from the stadium and then having a hike all the way there. If I watch the game at home, it's a 3.5-hour experience. If I go to a game, it's an 8-hour experience. So what I would say is that I have been a watch-the-game-at-home guy. I have been a watch-the-game-at-home guy. And I'm totally proud of that, all right? I also find when I go to games, for some reason, I get a better view at home. I catch more of what's going on, and I understand and conceptualize more of what's going on watching the game at home than I do when I'm at the actual game themselves. You know, one thing that you guys don't maybe not realize is Sturge and I went to the Clemson spring game, and we're supposed to do an hour post game of the Clemson spring game. And I'm looking at Sturge, and I'm like, man, how much of that game did you actually see? You know, how much of that game did you actually take in? That did you actually see standing there on the sideline? Like, what takeaways did you have from that game? Because different people were talking to us, different people were being introduced to us, and it's the same for you guys when you're attending a game. Your family's talking to you. What are you missing? What are you taking in? What are you seeing? Look, I get it. I'm the guy. I like to watch the games at home. But I can say that and still say that it's an embarrassment to be the best team in the country and to have not sold out one game the entire year last year.
But listen, Clemson fans are avid, man. I don't think that's the problem. I think something that you mentioned earlier, I think it's about the parking. I think it's the prices. I think there are a lot of things that come into play. I know whole families that's their weekend. Every Saturday during football season, that's what they do. They raise their kids up that way. So there's still enough of those out there. But then there are people like you and people like me who have a pretty big TV at home. You got HD, you can see with clarity, and you don't have to stand in line, you don't have to pee in a trough. I mean, there's just a lot of things that make you not want to go to the game. And I don't think it's a bad reflection on Clemson. I just think it has to do with all those things.
Well, it is a bad reflection on Clemson, and it is a bad reflection on Clemson because other schools throughout the country are selling out, and they're not winning the national championship. So, I mean, why are they going to games and Clemson fans are not? When you have a nationally televised game and the camera pans across the entire stadium, and the upper bowl is half or almost completely empty, or you have empty seats, it screams not big time, right? Lonzo, you and I were just having a conversation during the commercial break on being big time and wanting everything we do to be big time and the importance of that, right? We do the big show. We do the show that everybody wants to listen to. We do the show that is going to become number one in this entire area over a period of time. In order to do that, you've got to be big time. In order to be the big time college football program in the country, you can't on national TV be exposing empty seats. So, yeah, no, I like to watch the game at home. That's true. That's true. But I can say that and also as a Florida Gators fan say, man, you know what? Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville, Florida is partly empty, and that's partly due to me, and I'm partly responsible for this, and it's not really a great look.
So when you were there and you were a student for 7 years, mm-hmm. how many games did you go to?
About 90% of them.
Really?
Okay. About 90% of the games.
Does the average student go to every game? Every home game?
Used to be yes, now is no. Used to be yes, now is no. Used to be a religion. The alumni at the University of Florida have had it up to here with the current student body at the University of Florida because whenever a game is played at UF and it shows the stadium – The way the cameras are facing from the press box on the same side as the alumni side. The alumni side is completely jammed. The cameras face the student section, and the student section also often empties at halftime. And the alumni hate that what is visible on TV is a half-empty bowl when their section is completely filled. And it's part of the little war that we have going on between generations right now. I mean, this is part of that whole thing. You know, I'm part of the generation where it meant something to go to games. Also producing for us back in the network studios, Matt Hogan is in the generation that is not going to games. So, Matt, if you can plug in, if you can turn on your mic here, what side are you on here? My take is it's a bad look that Clemson, the national champion, can't sell out one home football game. Lonzo says you can't blame the fans for that. It's a better experience at home. You're of the generation, Matt Hogan, that frankly is the problem here. What say you?
Well, I might be coming in hot there. I might be on the generational side that wants to stay at home and watch the game. But I mean, I'd rather go to the game. That's an experience that you just know. It might not be as interactive or as interesting, and you might not be able to get all the stats or whatever you want to get, or the synopsis of the commentary. But I just feel like that's something that you can't mimic anywhere. I don't think you're ever going to be able to mimic. You know, I'm an LSU fan, so going to LSU games two or three times a year, that's an experience. I don't care if they're playing Syracuse or Clemson. It doesn't matter. That's an experience that you just can't get anywhere else.
Let's get right to it at 1-844-477-3776. And Doug joins us up first. Doug, thanks so much for the call. You're offsides. Doug, go ahead.
Touch on the attendance issues at Clemson. I think you hit the nail on the head. When I was in my 20s and had season tickets for a couple years, we were there every Saturday for every home game. But as I've gotten closer in up into my 40s, people are married, there's kids, there's families, there's activities, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And it becomes an ordeal to make it to every single game, and because you have to plan out your whole day. Whereas, like when I was in my 20s, we could
your whole day, and then what if you have? Yeah, what if you have kids, Doug? Then what if you have kids? You got to plan for kids, right? You got to plan for their entertainment. You got to pack up the whole car. Do you have food for people? Are you tailgating? I mean, I go to tailgates, Doug. I never plan the tailgate because I have no desire to put in that much planning for an entire day. I'll go to your tailgate, Doug.
Bojangles and pick up some chicken wings or something.
Yeah.
Throw some burgers on the grill or something, but as far as like menu planning, no. But it was just a big day of drinking beer and watching football and having fun. But you know, I'm 41 years old now, and it takes away from the experience when you have to plan your entire day around it. And like you said, kids and families and babysitting and entertainment and just till you're exhausted by the end of the day. I just can't do it anymore. It's not that I don't want to go. And what the gentleman before me was talking about, the experience, I wouldn't trade the experience of walking into Death Valley and feeling that breeze hit you and watching the kickoff. I love it and I miss it, but it's just not in the cards time-wise right now anymore.
Understand completely. Doug, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. If you're on the line, please hold. We will get to you. Coming up next, he's one of the most well-known and well-respected and well-appreciated caddies, golf personalities, works for ESPN. Michael Collins joins us next, live at the BMW Pro-Am at Thornblade in Greer, South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Live on location at the BMW Pro-Am Celebrity Golf Tournament in Thornblade, Greer, South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan in a beautiful setting, a beautiful scene overlooking the ninth hole. I'm a little bit worried that my voice is going to give some golfer out there the yips, but we will see as time rolls on here.
Yeah, don't give our guest the yips.
No,
he might jump over the side there.
No. I didn't hear nothing when I was down there, so, and I yipped my putter.
Oh, you,
so
you got it? You
I
got
didn't
it?
Hear you. Yeah, okay. Nah, my pro hit like a 60-footer from the front of the green. He said it was the first time he made a putt with the flag stick in, so it got us to 5-under making the turn.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the voice, you're listening to the voice of Michael Collins, former PGA Tour caddy, now pretending to work as a writer so I can stay inside the ropes and watch my friends play golf.
Pretending's the right word.
That is the Twitter bio. He's also
– hold on. You know why? It's because when I first got hired at ESPN, they put me as senior golf writer.
Okay.
And I failed high school English and still type with two fingers.
Well, you and I both. We're good. You and I both. Hey, the team two-finger typist, man, for the win.
That's what I'm saying.
All the way.
I can go fast, but
they're saying that I have both hands on my keyboard typing right now, and I shouldn't feel bad about that.
No,
sorry.
You should. But
you're the kid I used to make fun of for doing good at typing class.
No, man, I got a D in typing. I got a D in
really?
Timing, so yeah, he's barely passed.
He's not in the cool kids club. As Michael Collins, former PGA Tour caddy, current analyst on golf for the mothership ESPN. Michael, so many stories, so little time. I first want to ask you, there was a really kind of neat TV moment. You're watching Tiger Woods the other day, and I'm watching this live. Sunday morning on SportsCenter. I've got SportsCenter on. I'm seeing Tiger Woods walk up the green. Michael Collins is doing a report. It's so funny because we just had a very similar moment. I open the show with a ton of energy, and immediately everyone around me is like, man, I think you're talking too loud for golf. So Michael Collins is doing his report live on the green. Tiger Woods.
Well, no, it was on the driving range.
On the driving range.
It was
okay.
On the driving. What it was we had a live shot to do that morning.
Gotcha.
So Tiger was starting to warm up. So he putts first, and then he came over and he was in the bunker and he was doing some chipping and whatnot. So everyone had cameras set up for the live shot at the chipping area. But then he stopped chipping right when we went live. So I had been over there talking with them, kind of we goof off and joke around a little bit as he's getting ready to go through his full warm-up stuff. And then he starts walking over to the driving range where he has to walk past our camera. Now, I just told him, hey, man, I got to go do this hit real quick. I'll see you in a minute. So I run over there to the camera, grab the microphone, and I'm supposed to be standing kind of behind the camera.
Sure.
Just talking with the host, the SportsCenter anchor, back in the studio. And so as I'm talking to him and telling him about what Tiger's been doing and what he's been going through and about his – we were talking about putting – Tiger's walking past the camera, and he looks up and he sees me, and he can see I'm holding the microphone, so he knows I'm live on the air.
Right.
And he looks up and gets this sly look in his eye, and then he goes, "Shut up," loud enough that pretty much everybody could hear it. And then I was like, "What?"
And I heard it on TV.
I said, "Hey man, how am I supposed to shut up when I'm on live TV? I don't think that's gonna work for my job." And he turned back and started laughing.
Right.
And I was like, I would look stupid just standing here. There's Tiger and lay out. Like, hey, let's watch Tiger walk.
Michael, that was a live, hilarious, organic TV moment.
Oh, I've had guys throw golf balls at me.
No.
Yo, yeah, big time when I'm doing a live report. Ricky has hit little stingers at my feet and stuff like that.
Really?
Oh, these guys are – because I caddied on tour for 10 years, so I know all of these guys. And they also know that, like, I'm not scared. I don't care. You know, there are some reporters, they'll get all freaked out.
Right.
Like, you know, they go into reporter mode. I'm the same guy whether there's a camera around or not. I don't care. So the fact that I'm doing a live shot, they'll come by and just start talking smack and try and mess me up and stuff. Whatever, let's roll with it. It's
Has
fun.
A golfer ever thrown you off course? What golfer's thrown you off course the most?
No, but the guy who had the who came the closest, I was doing a live shot at Arnold Palmer, and I was shooting from the 16th, the par 5 16th tee, back towards the 18th.
Okay.
And a golfer basically went on the other side of the camera and mooned me while I was live. And I never broke until right after when I
– You didn't know what was happening, did you?
I did.
You knew what was happening.
Come on. If a dude goes behind the camera and then starts dropping trowel,
okay.
Like, that's not just outside the peripheral. It's right – like, I'm looking at the camera, and 2 feet behind the camera, I'm seeing crack, man. So
– a cracked rear view.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm seeing plumber view right there. It was refrigerator repair,
and
man.
And you still didn't break.
Nah.
Did that golfer catch some hell after that?
No, not at all. But I did – at the very end, I did say, you know, apparently they're going to come fix some refrigeration issues that are here. And then he started laughing when he did it. But that's the fun thing. That's the part of my job that I love that's so much fun is that those guys know that they can play around with me, and I don't care. It's not going to mess me up, and I'm going to roll with it. So, and ESPN loves it too because, I mean, it's basically being able to show, hey, look, our guy is out there. Not only is he out there, but he's having fun with these guys too. And we're talking about golf. So it's not like – it's golf.
Right. So. And I think your reports kind of highlight the lighter side of golf, which is great. And speaking to Tiger's resurgence, Michael, you know, I don't know. You tell me. But it seems to me like years ago, the old Tiger Woods took himself too seriously to maybe have a moment like that on the golf course.
I don't know that he took himself seriously.
Okay.
It's that he was a different guy then. So when you're the guy who's the dominant figure and everyone's coming at you, when you go into go mode – like, that was the Tiger that intimidated. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to step on your neck. You know what I mean? And I'll smile and wave to the crowd and do my fist pumps and stuff, but I'm going to keep stepping on your neck. And winning by one ain't enough. I want to win by four. And if I'm winning by four, I want to win by eight. So the irony is that Tiger was still a lot of fun on the golf course. Like, we would still goof off on the golf course, but when it was go time, it was go time. So it was just – he didn't normally have these type of lighter moments then that he does now. But that's the product of, he's a dad now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's like, so, and we talk about our kids and stuff all the time and just goofing off and making fun. And he now knows that that guy can also win on the PGA Tour and has won a major. So that's, once you get to that point, you're like, all right, cool, I can still do it as this guy too.
Really interesting. Michael Collins, former tour caddy, now ESPN golf analyst, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Michael, do you have any favorite story from the road that you can share with us here on the show today? Because
as a comedian, as a caddy, or as a broadcaster?
I'll take one of each.
No, I want to hear the comedian.
That would be a no and a no and a no.
Come on. how about, yeah, okay.
Actually, here's a funny one.
Sure.
Not as a broadcaster. So I did a video. I think it's still on YouTube. It's called Bubba Watson's Day Off.
Okay.
And I took Bubba without telling him. We just showed up at a Muni course in the middle of Orlando, downtown Orlando, called Dubs Dread. And I didn't tell him that I was coming with the Masters champion. And at the time, he had just won the Masters. So I just said, hey, I'm bringing this buddy of mine. We're going to do a little filming. Is it cool? And they were like, yeah, sure. And I show up with the Masters champion. And so I said, hey, man. Hi. So they're like, oh, my gosh, Bubba Watson's here. But if there's people on the course that don't know it. So I go up onto the 10th tee, and there's these two older guys. And I'm like, hey, do you mind if my friend and I play golf with you for a hole or two? And this dude looks at me and looks at his friend. And he goes, nah, we're good. We're all right. And his buddy's like, yeah.
Wow.
And I go, hey, man, they said, no, they don't want to play with us. And Bubba comes from around the bushes and goes, you don't want to play? Okay, why don't y'all want to play with me? And I thought the guy's friend was going to brain him with a 7-iron because he looked so mad and disappointed at the same time because he thought he was like, yeah, we showed that dude. We ain't playing with him. And it turns out I was there with the Masters champion, and they were just mad. And then we took spray paint. We got a rental set of clubs.
Well, you didn't play with them, did you? They didn't deserve the right to play with you after that client.
We did. Come on, man. We got to take the high road and be
there
the fun,
go.
Nice guys.
All right.
You know? Because the look on the face of both of those guys when you realize, dummy, Now you learn to be nice to everyone.
You say yes
you
to Michael
know.
Collins.
Or you just, you know what? You never know. You know, when someone says, hey, you want to do something? Maybe you should try it. Maybe something cool is going to happen. You never know. And then later we spray painted the rental club shaft pink. because that's when Bubba was playing the all-pink shaft. And I went, and then when I gave it back, I was like, hey, look, just tell me how much it costs because I'll pay for the
– There
I
you painted. Go.
And they were like, cost? You know how much we can rent this for now? We got video of Bubba hitting this thing. You spray painting it. So that was really cool.
That's man, that's fun. That's fun. I bet you have experiences like that quite a bit. So
it's been a crazy ride, man.
Yeah?
It's been crazy.
I still keep
waiting for the alarm clock to go off and me to have to wake up and go, like, find a real job.
Man, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
I love to hear kind of, you know, and how did you initially get involved with the sport? Like, how does one become
so
a caddy for the PGA Tour?
I was
Tour?
Doing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And another comedian said, hey, man, you got to learn how to play golf. And I was like, man, I used to make fun of golfers. I'm not playing golf.
Me too.
Stupid. Yeah. And he would watch it on TV, and I'm like, what do you got, narcolepsy or something? You got sleep disorder? You need nap time or something? And he was like, shut up, man. You got to. And then he said, look, golf's in everything. And I go, I don't believe it. And he said, call a comedy club and just ask them if you can come down to perform. And then call a comedy club and tell them that you're just going to be in the area playing golf. And can you come play their club as well? And when I called the club and said, hey, I'm just love to do 5 minutes. I send a tape back then. And then I called and said, I'm going to be playing golf nearby. And, you know, I hear that the club is pretty good. Can I go? And they go, hey, what course? Yeah. Okay, I'll come play. You got another guy? Can I come? Yeah, sure. Let's go tee it up. And the guy, yeah, come play. And I was like, okay. So I learned how to play golf. And then in 98, was in Hilton Head performing the week of the tournament. And a kid I went to high school with was like, hey, let's go to the tournament. And so I show up, walk out, meet a golfer. We get to be friends. He comes to the show. By the end of the week, 50 golfers and 100 caddies have been to the show. And I start booking comedy wherever the tour is going to be. So in the daytime, caddies on Tuesdays and Wednesdays during the practice, they'd be like, hey, man, you want to carry the bag? And I'd, yeah, not thinking 35 pounds, 7 miles.
You know? No.
Yeah, I basically turned into a donkey for a little while. But it was, hey, man, I was inside the ropes, and it was awesome. And then one week, this guy, my buddy, Robert Gomez, called me up and was like, I am playing like crap. I'm not having fun. Come caddy for me for a week. I just want to have some fun.
And tell me it didn't turn around for him right then.
Well, here's the funny thing. So we're on the first tee. We get no practice because the course had been underwater. And on the first tee, he goes to pull the driver out, and it's a par five. And I'm like, yo, don't hit it in a bunker because I don't know how to rake like a pro. And he just looked at me, and I'm like, wonder why he's looking at me like that. And of course, you know where he hits it, just right in the sand. And I'm like, I just told you not to hit it there. And he goes, you can't say that. That's where I'm. Now you tell me what to say? And we get down there. I'm like, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'm going to hit a three-wood in the front bunker in the green. And then I'm going to get up and down for birdie. I'm like, I just told you I can't rake, fool. You're going to hit it two bunkers on the first hole? Hit it in that front bunker, and I'm going to call immigration and tell them you ain't got your papers. Because I know your last name Gomez, you know me? And so he's laughing and then calls his shot, hits it in the front bunker, and I make a smart aleck comment. He makes a smart aleck comment. And then we realize, oh, there's two other dudes playing with us. We better shut up, like, be nice. And so off it went. And after that week, other guys then said, hey, call me when you got a week off of comedy. And it just snowballed.
Folks, he is a former caddy. He's now a golf analyst for ESPN. But I think perhaps more than all of that, he's the guy that makes golf fun. Right. I mean, and from your point that I grew up kind of the same way, man, you guys got a sleep disorder here. If you do, golf's the cure. As a guy who grew up kind of feeling the same way you do and then seeing kind of what you've done with golf, Michael, it's really cool. So you're out
What's
here.
What's wild is here's yeah. why I do that.
Sure.
It's because I could care less how a dude hits a 7-iron cut. I don't care. I don't care if you hit a draw, trap, 8-iron, whatever. You know what? What I learned is when hanging out at the with these guys out here and covering some of the LPGA Tour with some of the women, they're really cool, fun people. But you never get to see that because they're just playing golf.
Sure.
So I'm like, I want everybody to know you like I know you.
Right.
So that's my whole take on golf is like, I understand you guys can all do things that nobody else can do, but why should I want everyone to know, wait, why should they want to have a beer with you?
Exactly.
Why should we want to go hang out? So that's what I try and bring out from everyone.
What do you make of Thornblade? First time seeing it?
No, man. This is my third time playing in the BMW.
Okay.
I love it.
Feel very familiar.
I ain't never missing this tournament.
And how's the golf game going today?
So I ain't never missing this tournament. And you know, here's how good the golf is, and they know it inside scoring because you guys are right outside scoring.
Yeah, yep.
You know what's right next to the scoring desk?
What's that?
Ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Because no matter how bad your day is.
Well, you just saying that thing is going to make me lose my producer for the rest of the show here today. Hey,
come on, man. There's Nutter Butters over there, dude. Let's, you know what I mean?
Now we're talking.
I got shaped like Baby Buddha. I'm staying. I was a lot skinnier when I was caddying, but now they give me a cart and free food. So, yeah, whatever.
Michael Collins, former tour caddy, now ESPN analyst, a ton of fun. Thoroughly enjoyed that interview. Michael, thanks so much.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Appreciate it very much. So much more coming your way live at the BMW Pro-Am. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, live from the BMW Pro-Am. Here at Thornblade, it is an amazing scene out here. Our thanks to Michael Collins for just participating in what was a really, really fun interview here live on location. We are powered by Precision Pro Wash today. Great to be here. Just might be having an interview with the Wizard coming up here in a couple of minutes. I want to let you know, I think Nick Nurse, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, may have made a colossal error yesterday. You see, Kawhi Leonard played 39 minutes. Kyle Lowry, I should say, played 38 minutes. And a game only is 48 minutes in duration. So why did they play so much when they didn't have to? That was a game that Toronto had, by the neck from beginning to end. And Nick Nurse, you look at the numbers, they've had 3 days in between games, each of the three games of this series. But now they have just 2 days, just 1 day in between Thursday today off for practice. They play again tomorrow night. And Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry just logged very, very, very heavy minutes in a game where they didn't have to do so. And I realize these guys are in shape. And I realize, I could only dream of being in the shape that they're in. I get it. I understand it. But, when you could have played them 28 and 29 minutes and won the game, and you played them 38 and 39 minutes, I want you to watch for something that I think you just might see in Friday's game. I want you to watch for fatigued legs from Kawhi and Kyle sucking wind starting in the third quarter. About the middle of the third quarter tomorrow night, I think you're going to be really, really kind of surprised at what you see there. I thought they played too many minutes in a game they didn't have to. The question of the show today, as of right now, who wins the NBA Finals? Toronto's up 2-1. You got injury question marks with the Golden State Warriors. Can Toronto get two more games with those question marks, or do you think Clay and Kevin Durant will come back healthy and they'll make all the difference in the world? All right, chasing an interview with the Wizard. Is he coming up next? We will soon see. We are live on location at the BMW Pro-Am Celebrity Golf Tournament, powered by Precision Pro Wash, right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.